Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a brand new extra special episode of Tinder Love and Care with your hosts, myself, Pauline, and my darling, Kate. Kate and I have decided we cannot not discuss the latest show airing in the 90 Day Fiancé franchise, the original 90 Day Fiancé. As you probably know, our podcast, Tinder Love and Care, has a new, which is available on all podcasting platforms, has a new episode each Wednesday. In that episode, we break down a show from the TLC network, past or present. We deep dive and discuss the glorious chaos of one of those shows. But in this episode, we focus solely on a glorious 90 Day Fiancé franchise. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Pauline.
Kate, we're back. We are back, baby. Back. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, listeners, for being patient as we took a much needed and I would say deserved 2-week break. It was so nice to just relax and not think about anything. I played a lot of my Nintendo Switch and just chilled out. It was great. How was your break?
Well, it was brilliant because I saw you. Listeners, I hope you saw on our Instagram, Tinder Loving Care podcast. I did post one quick photo. Kate and I were reunited and it feels so good. It was great. Kate came to LA, so we had a good goss sesh in person. It was outstanding. And I met one of the stars of the show, Penny Crayon. That is Kate's dog, Penny, who I lovingly call Penny Crayon. She is a little scribble in real life. Stunning, amazing, cutie patoot. So I was very, very happy to meet her. So it was great seeing you. Kate, I don't know about you. I, for the past, I would say good month, have done nothing but shove crap food in my mouth and drink red wine.
So same. I'm in the same boat. Oh my gosh. I did a lot of wine.
Lot of
cocktails.
Wine.
Yeah.
A lot of wine. And I just get, you know, I know it's obvious to say, well, yeah, that's what everyone does in December. But it really is a little chip that goes into my head. It's like activated December the 1st. You can eat whatever you want. Doesn't matter. No calories. You're going to be fine. January 1st, that's when it all starts.
Yes. Yes. And everyone knows that that week in between Christmas and New Year's doesn't really exist.
No, it doesn't exist. No.
It's a pretend week. Yeah.
It's comfy cozies. It's docus. It's
cheese.
God, I love cheese. Yes, there's been a lot of that. I'm glad I'm not alone in that. But listeners, yeah, thank you so much for sticking by us. We really did enjoy a little break, but we obviously kept up on all the news as we do. Kate and I feverishly texting each other's photos. One being all is well in the world because Darce is married and we got some photos released. Now, there are a little bit, there are several, a couple of discrepancies between the photos that Darce released and then the photos of her actually in her wedding dress. You know, I'm just saying she's stunning and brave And I love her, and we love our Das always. Oh, and mm-hmm. the monster Nazi youth, Jesse, is going to be a father.
Okay. Bless that child. Wow.
God bless the child. I mean, seriously, I'm going to sing everything. This is going to be a musical number, this episode.
What do you think was going on in the Silva household when she found out that news?
Grit through gritted teeth. I'm really happy for him. That was the Das. That was the Das. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of gossip that we do need to catch up on. I mean, Kate and I are always perusing, even on our downtime. You know, we are on the trades. We're on Page Six. We're on Instagram. And there's been tons. Obviously, we have a lot to speak about in our Bravo show later on this week with Salt Lake City. Kate and I have not discussed it in person. We've discussed it a tiny bit in text. That's it. We're saving it for the pod because what has happened has been monumental. We did also find out that Debbie, as in Goldie's mother, has been denied entrance back into Canada with her boyfriend because they messed up on visa stuff. So she's back in the US and she's going to go and stay with Larissa in Vegas. So there's that, guys.
We need Andy and a camera.
Andy and the PA and a camera, I guess. Exactly.
The PA.
Jeff!
That's a callback to the OG listeners. That is wild. I feel like we did call this, though, when we were talking about Debbie at some point. We were like, because she's like, oh, I'm just moving here forever. And we said, how?
You know, we love the details, listeners. We love financials and talking visas, like love getting into that. So, but you're right, Kate, I think you're right. We did discuss that. She said she got some bad advice. And while she was applying for her permanent residency, she thought she could leave the country. She couldn't, went to Canada to go back home and was denied entry. So
whoopsie.
Yeah. All right. But we have a lot to catch up on. I know that for the Christmas break, 90 Day also took a break. Yep. So we just have one episode to go over, which is episode 12, In Sickness and in Health. And there were a couple that I must admit, there were a couple of chortles on my end from some things that happened in this episode. So I was happy to see it back, Kate. Which disastrous couple would you like to start with first?
Let's see. I feel like we can get Jasmine and Gino out of the way pretty quick.
I mean, it's shocking to see them happy, you know, and not screaming. So it's a bit disarming. It's as though you're behind the sofa, just with your eyes above the sofa being like, it's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon. They're going to fight. But we see them, they're in Miami. They're going salsa dancing. Gino looks genuinely happy. And you know, all that we've ever seen, obviously, we've seen so much turmoil with them, but you get a glimpse in how Jasmine and him were when they first met, you know, when they were doing all the online communication, then they finally met. They both switched everything on when you're with a new partner and everything's like that. And they were great. They were so happy. And Kate, we got a very raw insight into Jasmine and her children. So they have this great time. They're in Miami. They go and they're walking on the beach. And then Gina kind of brings up, I do want to be a dad. I mean, he's 54 and he says, I want a biological child. He seems, to his credit, he seems very, very caring for her stepchildren, for her children, which would be his stepchildren. And he seems very nice to them and always invested in them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then Jasmine kind of revealed quite a very, very intimate look into her life with her sons.
She did. Jasmine has not spoken that much about her children, which I found to be a very redeemable, respectable quality about her. Like, she is not completely exploiting her kids on this show. We've
Anna Co and Aspen. Carry on.
right. And so it was interesting to hear her speak about them more and reveal that sort of emotional, tender side that she has as a mother. She's afraid to have another kid, she says, because one of her kids is special needs and is actually nonverbal. And I think that she worries that her baby would also be special needs, and she just knows how tough that's been.
Yeah, it was
on her kid.
Yeah, she was speaking about the reaction of other people and how cruel the world can be. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have a child that cannot communicate their feelings. And it was very poignant. And I thought Gino reacted very well to it. I mean, it's crazy. We're giving all these people these compliments when they're usually complete nut jobs and throwing toothbrushes at each other. But it was a kind of beautiful moment. And then you can take a breath and you go, okay, they're okay. Then we go to next week and you see, going to be romantic. Gino's giving her, is this like her fifth ring? I feel like he's given her so many diamond rings that she's thrown away in anger. She's stomped on. She's thrown in some parking lot in Michigan. But anyway, there is a romantic dinner, giving her a ring. And then you just hear her voice over going, there is something that I haven't told him about how the ex-boyfriend gave her money to put plastic in her ass. So it's just, I mean, I was, you're rooting, you're going, yes, I could take a breath. I could take a breath. And then it's all just going to blow up.
They'll get back to the script of
yeah,
your ex-boyfriend. Well, your family and yeah.
Round and round we go.
Yep.
So that was Gino and Jasmine. Who's next, Kate?
I would say I have Sam and Citra next.
Yeah. So we've got Citra. We last left them. Citra was very upset because Sam has a possibility of going back to jail because he didn't get his diversion paperwork filled out. She's cooking in the kitchen and they have a very prolonged kind of conversation about his asshole and the cooking being very, very hot, that she's, you know, her food that she was cooking. And she was kind of like, I do, you know, I'm worried because if he goes, I have nothing. She's going to be left. We've discussed this last time. If he goes to jail, she's going to be in a house with that alien hunting dad, no one cleaning, no job. It's terrifying to think of that.
Did you see, we love a refrigerator reveal. Did you see what was in there?
No, I missed, Kate.
She had both the freezer door and the refrigerator door open.
Okay.
The freezer contained microwavable burritos, two big boxes of those Uncrustables peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Got it.
And the refrigerator had about 12 liters of pop. And by pop, I mean soda. So now, that's what she's working with.
We love our DC. We love our Diet Coke. And we love our Coke Zero. Always, I'm a big Coke Zero girl. Love my Coke Zero. I don't think there's enough said about Coke Zero. I'll save that for another episode. But I do think we need to talk about Coke Zero a little bit more. Diet Coke gets all of the attention, but I love a Coke Zero.
It's true.
But I did not see that. Damn it. I usually would have caught that. Good catch, Kate. Good catch.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's worrying. So they're having this chat and she's kind of like, well, you know, we'll deal with it. Of course, we have her dad's coming. But before that, we are going to go and meet Sam's mum and grandmother. Now, I forget we're in Missouri. That's where we are, Missouri. And he's warned that his mother, I cannot remember if I've just forgot, if perhaps I missed all of this, that, you know, his mother is very volatile. I don't know her history at all. He may have revealed it. I can't remember it, unfortunately. Do you remember any of it that you said about his mum before this?
No, I have a lot of good guesses, but he says it's been 10 years they've been estranged and then she just recently popped up and I thought, oh, was it because he's filming a TV show?
It was giving me the vibes of 90 Day Fiance the other way, that kid that's gone over to the Philippines and had a baby, you know, the one that just plays the video games all the time.
Oh, right.
His mum. It was going to be that vibe.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go over to, so he seemed very nervous. And he's like, you know, she can blow at any time. And they go over to the house. The house looked lovely. It looked a nice house. And they go in. Grandmother's there. And he was awfully affectionate to his grandmother, which was lovely. You could tell he was very, very close to her.
Yeah.
And the mother's there and he says, I'm just worried she's going to say something about religion or something that's going to be uneducated or rude or offend Citra. I think Citra held her own and was very kind of confident and held a conversation with them. Grandmother seemed lovely. Mother seemed fine. Definitely there was, you know, she's buying her cigarettes in cartons. And that, listen, no shame. I'm just saying.
To describe the vibe.
There are cartons, not just single cigarette packets. We got cartons going on. fine. But I would like someone to tell me, Citra walks in, she goes, have you just moved in? And they go, yeah. There wasn't a chair. Mm-hmm. What was it? I don't know if they'd literally moved in that morning and the moving truck was still outside. I was so confused because there wasn't a chair. None of them sat down the entire time. There was an elderly woman there. It was so odd.
Do you think they really live there?
I saw the beds on. I mean, it was strange. There's another scene where I think they may have been giving them like a tour. And they go in and there's just mattresses on the floor. Mm-hmm. And there were boxes everywhere and there were shopping bags. I think they must have just really just moved in a day beforehand or something. But there wasn't a chair. They were all standing and it was getting really uncomfortable for me to watch.
It was a little bit odd for sure. Mm-hmm. The she brought some food. Very nice. She didn't come empty-handed. She made some food because I love this. She's seen the cuisine available to her in this house and she's taking control of her, what is going in her body.
Yeah.
She's like, I got a rice cooker. It's too many potatoes here. I'm Midwestern. So I was like, not enough potatoes, but anyway. Yep. And she made a dish that, is native to where she's from. And so she's giving it to the mom and the mom's like, she's like, oh, it's this. And it has I think she said coconut milk in it. And the mom was like, oh, I love coconut or whatever. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I hope you guys like that. But then they're talking about the fact that they're getting married and the mom is talking to the camera about this. And she's kind of begrudgingly half accepting it, but she is telling us she wishes that Citra and her family worship the same God as her. And she doesn't really want to go to the wedding because she doesn't want to participate in something she doesn't believe in. And she's got some pretty strong opinions about the religious element.
It wasn't even not believe, it was not approve. And that's a different thing. Yeah. Of Islam.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And then the greatest line, which I took personal offense to as a bruja myself, Blanca, a bruja, is she goes, but you know, she says at least, it was like at least or something, you shouldn't be marrying into witchcraft. Now, she wasn't saying Islam, the Islamic faith was witchcraft, but she was easily pairing the two. I mean, it's just like, she wasn't saying Islam was, but she was saying, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I wouldn't approve of someone marrying into witchcraft. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. who brought up witchcraft?
I don't know where that came from.
The contrast between his mom's side and his dad's side was interesting too, because he said his dad's side is at one end of the spectrum, as we've seen with the alien stuff. Love. And then the mom's side, he makes a point to say, and he feels bad saying it on TV, but he does say, well, they're kind of the type of religious where they don't practice what they preach.
Yeah, we all knew what he was getting at. No one's saying it, Kate. No one's saying it, but we know where she's been for 10 years. I just wrote down one celebrity that she reminded me of, the mother. Very, very, very big. Tyron Manning vibes. Tyron Manning. Really?
Tyron Manning.
Yeah.
Tyron Manning. Yes, yep. Yes.
Really getting those vibes off her.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Tara Reid.
Tara Reid. Look, I can add her in if you want, because really, I mean, there's that.
A sprinkle of that.
It's like just being left out in the sun a little too long. You know, that vibe, just in the desert. They've been in a desert for a little too long somewhere.
It's the grandma from There's Something About Mary.
It is.
Do you know that?
Is. Yeah. Of course, the orange. Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot. We got a cig on.
There's slurring.
There's stuff there. But you know, it went, I think, very well for what he was expecting.
Yes.
So
yes.
I know that we've got her father coming next. That's what we're going to see probably next episode.
I think that's going to be cringy for sure.
I know.
Her talking to the dad about, because religion is obviously going to come up.
And the fact he could be going to jail.
Right.
Obviously, Nick and Devin, they're done. That was just such pointless. Those two were so pointless in the show. But anyway, they're done. I'm just gonna say I want to go to Moldova. We're going right there now. We're going to Moldova right now. And listen, I'm not proud of myself, all right, Kate? But I love Justin. I'm not proud of it, okay? He's a monster. But he is a beautiful 90-day fiancé monster. I love my Nikki as well. Don't get me wrong, I love my Nikki.
Right.
But those two, I really love them. And we had one of our great listeners actually DM us, and I was having a full-on conversation with them about how both of us fancy Justin, but we know we shouldn't. I am still deeply sexually attracted to him, but his sense of humor, he is awful, and he's amazing. I just wrote, "They're back." That was my first line, because they were at the winery, and when we last left them, Kate, this dickhead Justin tells our girl, our gorgeous Nick, who we love Nikki, we do. We love the nails, we love the look. And she's like, "So you were with women and sleeping with women in the period of us being together, but before you proposed?" "Oh yeah, oh yeah, of course." She's
just like a sex friend.
Just a sex friend. What? So poor Nick, I mean, it's awful. Nikki's heart's broken. So they get into the car where they're always fighting back. And it's like the fights in cars in 90 days are so similar to getting in a sprinter van if you're a housewife. That's
great, like, connection there. Yeah, yes.
That's
yes.
What it is. So they're in the car and she's all upset. And they said, "We had to leave the winery because Justin was spoke about his sex friends." Then he starts in the car talking about, quote, "We can try another girl together." Sorry, what? Nikki says, I'm telling you that I'm upset because you were sleeping with other girls when we were together. Now, out of nowhere, by the way, out of nowhere, he just pops out, "Well, you know, let's just add another girl." That's not what I'm saying.
Still has not apologized for doing that, by the way, for the sex friends. Won't apologize for that. But he's using it as a segue to talk about shared sex friends with her. Oh my God.
What is he on? And Nikki cannot get her head around it. She's like, "I don't want threesomes. I don't want any of that. You won't even have sex with me. Yet you're wanting..." Here's the bottom line. And Justin says, I think, in a preview of next week, "I think he is madly in love with Nikki emotionally. He is not physically attracted to her." And that's it. And he says that, and he needs to say it to her, and he needs to end this with her, because it's breaking her heart, and it's the truth. I think he really gets on with her, and I think he really likes her. And I think they have I can see them having a great laugh. We've seen it when they got drunk together and everything, that he's just not sexually attracted to her. And that's it.
I agree. I think there's also sort of a mothering aspect of it that he likes too. Like, I think she takes care of things for him.
Oh yeah,
because she like paid for all this stuff for him, and she says that on this, how she's like, "I feel like I'm just the sugar mama, and then you have these younger women that you go for sex stuff." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's talking about how she did all of her experimenting already in her 20s, and that's not the lifestyle she's looking for right now. And he says, "Well, I wasn't that free," and basically saying, "I deserve to have this, that exploratory time too." And then she gives us the great line.
Oh yeah. What's the, please, Kate, what is the line?
"I fucked three guys in Paris." She's like listing all this stuff. I had sex with women. I had threesomes with two women and one guy. I had sex with three guys in Paris. That was a little too much, but it was good, or something. What was that?
I mean, it was, she sits down and she just starts saying, you know, like, she was going to pack, and then she came back and she's like, "You know, I can't do this. I've got to talk this out." She says, I've done these sexual things. And that's the problem with age difference relationships. It is a huge thing. Most people do a lot of sexual exploration. Not everybody, but most people do it in their 20s. They get all of that, whatever you want to do, whether it's different genders, whether it's multiple people, or whether it's just completely vanilla, but whatever, you're just, you enjoying sex and you're figuring out what you like, what you don't like. You get, and then you're heading to 50 and you get with a 20 something, or it's very different. It's very different what they want. And unfortunately, that's where we are with our neck.
Yes, I totally agree about the age difference thing. It can work if you've had very similar life experiences up until the point that you're at. And, you know, look at Sumit and Jenny. They're very happy.
They're very happy. You're right. They're very happy. But so she sat there, and when she stopped, I was laughing my ass off her listing all of these sex adventures. She's like, yeah, it didn't really work. The three guys didn't really work. But anyway, so I did that, and it was, we need to get a t-shirt that says I had three guys fuck me in Paris. It was beautiful work. It was great. I loved it.
Then she talks to her mom on FaceTime and tells her all about Justin's shit that he's putting her through. And her mom is talking sense to her. No, absolutely not. You need to give him an ultimatum or you need to end it. I don't even know if she said need to end it. She was just like, give the ultimatum. This is not okay. This is not what you want. You're trying to settle down. And then we see Justin, aka Igor, go to talk to his friend Ivan in the park. And they have a very terrible conversation about how Ivan is telling him, women are naturally manipulative. Put an end to this and show your masculine side.
That's what it was. Yeah. That was hard. That was hard. I mean, he was desperately trying to get some guidance, and basically he cannot understand or communicate well with our girl Nikki, and he's trying to figure it out, and so he's going to this guy that's going to give him terrible advice. And I think Nikki's mum as well knows her daughter and is like, I can't tell her to just stop seeing him, it's not going to work either. But
right, there's a difference in, it's like he is perfectly fluent in English and everything, but there's still this miscommunication happening. Like, they're not on the same page with when they're being serious and when they're joking around. Oh, like, their senses of humor. I think you're right what you said earlier about how they can have a laugh together and, you know, drink some wine, have a great time. But also, she says at one point, I don't even know, like, I can't tell if he's saying this stuff just to get a rise out of me or mess with me or get me to push him away, or if he is genuinely serious and saying this because that's really what he wants with our relationship. Like, she just cannot even discern between those different things.
And it makes sense. And I think she touched on something there when she said, you know, I can't figure out whether he's trying to push my buttons, because I think he's trying desperately to push her away. He doesn't want to break this up.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He's saying all of this. He's smiling. It's really nasty. Yeah. Because he cannot say what he needs to say to her, which is, as we said before, I'm not sexually attracted to you, and it's not going to work. And he's saying all these things, so hopefully she ends it. But I don't think Nikki's going to end it anytime soon. I just don't.
It's such a shame.
I know. Right. I love her.
Me too.
All right. So who do we? Let's go to Ashley and Manuel.
Okay, that's what I was going to say too. So,
hey.
Sorry, I have my Palo Santo on my desk and I just got such an urge to light it. So I did.
Oh, good. Then light it.
Speaking of Ashley, yeah.
There you see? See?
Yes. So, okay. We have a friend of Manuel's, Jonathan, right? Mm-hmm. Is his name. and he's coming over, and this was nice for him. I really think he needed this, to have someone he knows around, someone he can speak Spanish with, and not Ashley's choppy Spanish. And so Jonathan comes over. It's been 7 years since they've seen each other. Jonathan lives in New York, and they're chatting. Ashley's there too. And Ashley's like, you guys should go hang out, go get out of the house, and just you two go, you know, have guy time or whatever. And so they go to a bar to talk. And Manuel is talking about Ashley's spending. This is his big issue with her, is money. So he thinks that she spends an excessive amount on unnecessary things when his family is in Ecuador needing assistance from him, but actually it's her money. And Jonathan, I thought, was pretty measured with his responses to this, because he's telling us that maybe people in the States don't understand just like the things that are needed for people in Ecuador. And also he's saying to Manuel, like, that's kind of just the way it is here. He's like, I have 20 pairs of sneakers at my house right now. And so I feel like he did a good job of, you know, sympathizing with it, but also showcasing that Ashley's point of view is valid as well.
I agree. I think that, and here there are just some fun, as much as we all want to think love conquers all, it absolutely does not, unfortunately, especially you can see it in this show every time you watch it. But cultural differences, really, there are some that we will never understand what some other cultures experience, and likewise with us, there is just going to be a barrier. As much as we wish that there isn't, there just are, because you're brought up in different ways, and whether it's religion or culture, there are some things that are so ingrained in Manuel and how money is treated and how money is spent that is vastly different to American lifestyle. And that's just it. So then they get, you know, then they all go together for coffee. And, you know, Ashley loves her coffee. She loves a drizzle of caramel. She loves the whipped cream. You know, she loves it all. So they're all sat, by the way, I can't believe how this ended. So yeah, they're all sat there and they're all having this conversation. They get onto it again. And he's just like, she explains, I'm paying for everything. She said, he's like, you need to do more. She goes, we sent money to your family twice in 2 months. So once a month they're sending money, and he goes, yeah, and that's all you did. So she gets up, she goes, I'm so hurt. And you could see a genuine panic, because she went to the back to speak to the producers, which we love, thank you Ashley, and she said, I'm the one, I have no co-signer for him. And what has been discussed in past 90 days is if you sponsor your fiance to come over here, you're responsible for him financially in the United States for, it was 10 or 15 years. It was a massive amount of time.
Yep.
She has that entire burden. He can walk, he can marry her or not. Well, marry her. He would have to marry her. And he could walk away from the marriage, not work, and say, you need to pay for me. And legally she has to. That's what you're doing when you sponsor someone to come to this country. It's huge. So you could see her panic. You really could.
Yep.
And Manuel just, she's like, also made the point of like, he wants all the food he's eating, my money. Place he's staying, my money. I'm putting food in his children's mouth, who, by the way, I have no idea, or no, I know nothing about them, because he's completely hidden all that life from me.
Yeah. She says he's keeping me away from his family, but telling me I'm not giving them enough money, and she's given them money. She's supporting their son or dad or whoever and sending them money once a month. And he's telling her she's not supporting him enough. She's like, we're having, I loved when she was like, we're banging it out multiple times a day. I was like, girl, you are doing so much. I really appreciated that from her.
I write that down as a quote. I loved it. And the other quote that got me riled is, he says, she has to take responsibility. I don't know how she didn't lose her shit. But then we see something that's just the cherry on the top. Next week with Ashley and Manuel, she's outside screaming and roaring at him, having a fight. And then they go into the toilet. They go into the toilet, the bathroom, and the coffee shop and have sex.
God.
Is she doing? She is the epitome of dickmatized. Like, I've never known anything like it.
Yep. That's it. He must have.
And they leave their mics
amazing...
on, which I really appreciate, by the way. They did leave their mics on. So they have this roaring fight, and then they're like, okay, we made up, fine, whatever. Jonathan leaves, and they're like, all right, let's go have sex in the toilets at this coffee shop. It was, I appreciate that a lot. I really did. I really appreciated that.
Ashley, this couple, and especially Ashley, I just want to shout out. I feel like she's giving us a lot this season.
She is. I'd like to see more of her work, though. But she's too busy. She's having sex with him multiple times a day. She has to go and get her coffee. You know, she's got a lot going on. But
you know the camera guys have like been around when this is going on too. And they're just like, I guess we'll fuck off then.
Oh, geez, imagine. Oh, no. Sights those cameramen have seen. All right. You can take us in. You can take us into you know who.
All right.
Oh, no shit. We have Clayton as well.
We do. Do you want to do them first?
Yeah, Clayton. So what I put it on our Instagram, Tender Love and Care podcast, awards need to be given to the editors that you see Clayton in this. They're in San Diego in this hotel or this Airbnb. Clayton's lying on the bed in the middle of the day and it just pops, or in the morning and just pops up 59 days without sex. I lost my shit. They are beautiful work over at TLC. They're producing beautiful work.
Oh, so
I mean,
funny.
It was great. Unclear how long they've got left to marry, which is what we usually see, but 59 days without sex. So they're in San Diego making... Kate, have I missed something? Why are they not having sex? What is going on here?
I think... I was trying to figure that out too. I couldn't tell if I just missed what was said or if she... is just more modest than him or chaste. I don't know what the word is here. Like, she wants to wait till marriage. Is it that?
No, because
or
they've had sex. This is the thing. They've been sexually active. This is not a couple that's like Citra that religious reasons are not having sex.
Oh, okay. I think in that case, she's come here and she's so turned off by the circumstances she's in. She's not horny with the mom in the closet. And, you know, she's
and they
like,
pick a chocolate.
I think he gave her the ick with all this.
You know, if I walked into a house and there was a mother living in the closet, sure, maybe I would not feel that horny. But then you see baby pick a chocolate and they're dressed up. They have little hats. Chihuahuas have hats on. I mean, I'm living my dream at that point. I'm like, woo, it's lovely.
It's festive.
So don't get it. But anyway, she's not into it. So yeah, they've been having sex many times when he visited before. And this That's is right. just... So 59 days without sex. And then they're in San Diego, this Airbnb. So they're making breakfast and he says, what, are you upset with me? She says, I still am about all of this sex talk. And my notes are just, these are my notes. 59 days without sex. Ha ha. Why? In San Diego, speaking about sex talk, not okay. Baby pig and chocolate. I just want to get in the fat little gins. And I love gins so much. So then when they're outside in the garden having breakfast, which looked like a microwave, I don't know what it was. But anyway, they were eating it and they kind of resolved their issues, whatever. He gets up, leans over to kiss her. She doesn't even want to kiss him. She has no attraction to this man. At all. I think you're right, Kate. I think she came over and it was such a shock to her that she went, actually, no, not at all.
She didn't know that he was gaming almost all day. No friends. Like, all this stuff is adding up and making him way less attractive to her. Because I think when he was visiting her, it was this adventurous, sexy side to him that she saw, and then she came here and she's like, oh, this is who you are and what you do, no thanks.
I think that's exactly what it is, because I just could not get my head around it.
Yeah.
So then he goes to meet with Cameron, his friend that he came to San Diego to see, They practice some Peruvian dance, which was really interesting, but they did that for like 5 minutes. Then they had a whole conversation, said goodbye. But the main thing I want to get to is, now, you know, listeners, on this show, we love our theories. And we come up with theories that most of the time have no grounding in reality. But sometimes they just come to us and we like to spread them as rumors, as gossip. And one of them that I came up with is that Anna Lee, this whole thing that he addresses at dinner with her in San Diego is about her father. Now, we were told from the beginning, her father does not know about Clayton. I think she said she was on a holiday here or something to do with a work thing. God knows what she told this father. I started the rumor that there's a possibility that this is not her father, that I think this is a husband. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't understand what's going on. She's not having sex with this guy. She cannot post him on Instagram at all, on any of her social media. He's not posted. She has lied about him. The father knows zero about him. And then they start having conversations. She goes off, and we see next week it goes into it more, but she goes off, she's crying. He's like, why are you so scared to talk about your father? Why are you so scared to talk about your father? I don't know if, I can't remember how it's worked when he's got been in Peru, because he's been there once or twice to see her. If he just never met any of her family, or he was introduced as a friend, I don't know.
Or maybe they were just like meeting up places hotels or Airbnbs or whatever, like resorts.
So, but what is it with this father?
I don't know, she was, her reaction said a lot, so
don't get
that's
it.
So, I don't know, that's a really, that would be a humongous twist that this season's been lacking, to be frank.
That, right, it would be a great twist. What, she's that terrified of her father because he doesn't want her to marry a foreigner? I don't know. I just think it's really over the top. But that's what we see next week. We're going to get further into that. And he's saying, why are you so scared? What is going on about the father just knowing nothing? Because he is not present in her life, Clayton, on any of her social media. So
interesting.
Don't know what's going on. So yeah, you can take us into you know who. Just go ahead, please.
All right. Sophie and Rob the Knob. So another car fight. We're in.
Sure, we're in. Straight
this
in.
This is after that awful trip to the sex shop. Oh, you'll remember it was this strange interaction with the employee, implying that she would have a threesome with them. Mm-hmm. Sophie got very annoyed that Rob seemed open to that and that he didn't immediately say, no, I will not have a threesome. This is my fiance, soon to be mm-hmm. wife, Sophie. Mm-hmm. So they argue a little bit more, but then they do this thing where they're like, let's move on. And then they just drop it.
I wrote that down. Should we move past it? Let's move past it. And then it's all done. They're awful.
I have an issue, it's like, we're going to sit here and talk and talk until I feel good about this. Anyways. So, they are cooking in Rob's kitchen area of his apartment, and Rob goes, she's like, I don't have any surfaces to put these potatoes or whatever. And he gets a little TV tray table, and they sit across from each other, and they're peeling potatoes. And he goes, couldn't do this in a big kitchen, could you? And I was like, absolutely could, and it would be way more comfortable.
He is awful, and I hate him. Carry on.
So Sophie is like, why is she picks up the olive oil that was on the stove, and she's like, why is this hot? He's like, it's a stove. I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, my phone's on the stove, and her mom has texted her that she is arriving in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so they don't pick up the mom from the airport. Mm-mm. Which I thought that was interesting. I don't know. I feel if my mom was like flying internationally, I'd probably meet her.
She may have been like, camera crew when I get off the plane. She may have been like that. Don't do that. That's really annoying. Let me get to the hotel and take a shower.
Yep, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. So they meet her at her hotel room. And
so miserable. And Sophie could have not asked. And are you excited about seeing mom? Yeah, well, you know, I mean, she just, you know, he's so miserable about his entire life and Sophie. He doesn't like her. I'm sure he likes having sex with her, but he doesn't like her at all.
No.
So they go up to this hotel room. Oh, he says to his girlfriend, you know, she just doesn't know how to shut up sometimes about her mother. This guy is just such, you know what it is? It's trash. He is trash. Has no idea about how to function in proper society. That's who this guy is. Anyway, the mother is like obsessed with Sophie. It's like, oh my God, Sophie, I smell you. I smell like Sophie. It just ignores him, right? And he's so awkward. He doesn't know how to speak to people. And he's just, you know, he's just, ugh. So he goes in defensive. These very, very, very insecure men that we see in these shows, they don't know how to interact with people at any level. So they go on a defensive. It's their problem, not mine. And he's already like that. And so she goes, hi, Rob. And she's like, the mother eventually goes, hi, Rob, you look good. So, oh, thanks. Yeah, cracks a smile a little bit. And they sit down. And I mean, the mother, look, she's well aware of being on camera. Let's say that. She knows she's got to kick off like a little bit. So they start talking about, you know, she's like, what's going on with the wedding? Yeah, you can help mum. And then the mother's like, I will make sure that I'll get, you know, the, she's got like a little bit of a, like, she's got like lower jaw, like she speaks a little bit like this. She's like, I will make sure, you know, I'll get the bouquet because I ain't been married, so I want to get it. And then he's like, well, yeah, and he is completely innocent and just throwing out this stupid sentence of like, well, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, my mum's going to be there. And, then who is it that said, and then he goes, she's only a tiny lady. And the mother says, oh, I'm going to have to knock her down.
Yeah. Cause he's saying like, oh, like my mom's going to want that bouquet too, or whatever. And then she yes. says, and then the mom says, I'm going to have to knock her to the floor then.
Yes.
To which Rob responds, well, my mom is so tiny and she's really not aggressive.
And that was a throwaway comment. We know it was all a throwaway comment. I hate Rob the Knob, but it was a throwaway comment. And she sees the thing of like, oh, I haven't started an argument yet on camera with him. So, all right. Who are you calling aggressive? You saying that I'm aggressive? And then Sophie's just like, well, I mean, yeah. She's like, oh, I mean, she wasn't actually like saying that, you know, she was like gonna knock. Do you think my mum was actually saying that she was gonna like knock down your mum? She's like joking. Oh, it was painful. And he's like, I wasn't thinking any of you were being literal in what you were saying. I was just responding and you're all jumping on me. That mother is, listen, he's a nightmare and he deserves everything, but the mother is, it's tough. Then so they kind of have this goes on way too long. They leave her. Kate, and then she comes to visit his house.
Yes. One more thing I want to say about that whole thing. Did you see when she's like, all right, bye guys. And then did you see as they turn their backs to leave, the camera was on her and she went like this and just completely dropped the smile immediately after they turned. She was like,
yeah, yeah. Imagine if your daughter turned up with him?
No, I understood it. It just cracked me up.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we next have her going to their studio apartment. And needless to say, she's not impressed.
And listen, I hate that this is being presented. And like I tell you, it's being presented as that by him through his eyes of, oh, these are posh English people. By the way, they couldn't be further. I've already discussed they could not be further away from posh. Okay, I'm just putting that out there. These are posh English people that are super, super rich, and they're coming in and they're judging me because they have no idea how hard my life is, and they've no idea like how much I've suffered. And shut up with you, take you and your massive chip on your shoulder, Rob, and get a job. And I felt like Sophie, you know, the mother walked in and said, oh, this is a lovely courtyard. And they go in, and quite rightly, the place is a mess. Once again, Kate and I say it every single week, it's not about the level of finance and the level of money you have. You could have a tiny place, but it could be spotless and look beautiful. He doesn't clean anything. It's all overcrowded. It's dusty. So yeah, the mother isn't impressed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
And he just, and Sophie, you could feel how much she was so happy to have someone on her side, because he started kicking off and Sophie goes, oh, get out the violin. And I loved that. I was like, good for you. None of you know anything. My life, I've suffered. And that mother goes, you have absolutely no idea about my life. You have absolutely, and that, like I say, that woman is not posh. I've no idea where she came from or money or anything like that, but he's just, he's so living in a woe is me, and he's the victim. He's had a hard life. Do you know what? Like I told you when you were here, Kate, McDonald workers in Los Angeles County earn $20 an hour. He can go and work at McDonald's.
That's what I have written down here, because I don't think that anyone is, and on the show or us, we're not denying that he's like had a tough go at it. He's had a tough start and all that.
Why has he, by the way? What is his story? I don't know where this, all he does is talk about how tough his life has been.
I think because I'd have to go back to the first episode, because he did talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
I think so. But we both know it's very hard to live in LA and support yourself.
Yeah.
And it is tough to hear that you're not doing a good enough job succeeding in life.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
But their point and our point is that you still could get a job somewhere. And I think his ego is preventing him from taking a job that maybe isn't as cool or glamorous as he wants it to be. And it doesn't have to be that at first, because you can build and find something else. You know, you can job search while you're working these shifts at this place you don't really care for.
Absolutely.
You know, I've done that and it sucks, but like you have to have some income coming in.
Yeah. And if he's so, you know, tough and like he's fighting it and doing it all on his own, okay, then do it on your own. But you're not, you're living off your girlfriend, mate. That's what you're doing. You don't work. So
did you catch the part too where Sophie's like, she's like, but because the mom is saying, why didn't you, her argument or her statement she keeps coming back to is like, her Aunt Sophie is, why didn't you prepare more for her coming here?
Right.
And that makes sense when Sophie says, I was talking to you for months and months, checking in on saying, have you applied to any jobs? Well, how's your job search going? And he wasn't doing it. So
no. It's really just black and white what we're saying here. And you're right. He thinks he's above working at a fast food place, but he'd be earning a ton more money than he is now. It's just, it's painful to watch this child of a man just, oh, I can't even stand him. He's screaming at her. The language he uses to this, to supposed mother-in-law and his girlfriend. And it's, he's such a victim, Kate. He's such a victim. Shut up.
To be fair, we did get an amazing montage of, what's the mom's name? Claire?
Yes.
All of her FaceTimes with Sophie when she's talking about him. And she definitely name calls him a lot, but also
accurate.
It's accurate. And it's your girlfriend's mom coming to visit all this way. And you're going to act like this.
He's a petulant stomp child. Out. Ugh. He's an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that marks the end of 90 Day Fiancé for this week. So, I think we did that without getting too angry. It is a new year, guys. I did go to Mass on Saturday, so I'm a great Catholic again. So I'm trying not to get too angry. That is that for our 90 Day Fiancé wrap up, guys. Also, Happy New Year. I don't think we've even said Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Happy New Year, guys. We hope we, you know, Kate and I have a lot planned for 2024. We're going to be marking on March the 1st our second year of the pod, if you can even believe it. So we want to say a big thank you to everyone that has supported us. Genuinely, it's huge seeing you sign up. We just got sent a message to one of our new Patreon members just before we came on here. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon. Dead easy. Go to patreon.com/tenderlovingcarepodcast. Find us. It's $5 a month. You'll get a ton of back content in there. There's, if you've listened to all our episodes right now, go and join our Patreon. We have hours and hours of exclusive episodes on there for you to listen to that has not been released on the main feed. So we want to say thank you to everyone. Please go and follow us on Instagram at Tender Loving Care Podcast, TikTok, the same name, same username, Tender Loving Care Podcast. And Kate, we have our YouTube channel.
Yes, yes, you can find us on YouTube. I've been posting the video version of the podcast episodes.
Woo!
So exciting.
Hi, everyone just watching right now. We're waving. Hi.
Can see us roll our eyes at Rob the Knob. Mm. And that you can find, search Tender Loving Care Podcast on YouTube and you'll find our channel. It's, you'll see the logo is the same as our podcast logo. And go follow us, like, subscribe, all the stuff. And
smash that like button.
Hit that bell.
Hit that bell.
And yes, thank you so much for supporting us. And email us if you have any fun gossip or experiences being on a reality show, or you know someone who's on a reality show and something fun happened, email us, tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. We love to hear stuff.
And we are going to hop off now and record our Wheel of Shame episode, in which we talk about the docuseries, The Curse of the Chippendales. So be sure to listen to that when it comes out on Wednesday. We love you all. Happy New Year, guys. This is going to be a year full of love, full of good health, and great wealth for all of us. Love, love, love. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.